When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" And now from Luke chapter 22, verse 14. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this.
Thank you, Peter. We join in prayer. Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on toward your kingdom. For Christ's sake. Amen. Usually on Palm Sunday, everything revolves around the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on a donkey. It's been part of the theme of our service so far, of course. It's a kind of final high point before the long downhill slide through Holy Week to Good Friday. And usually on this day we make the fiddle point. Again, it's been part of our theme, the point that the fiddle crowd that hailed him today as he entered in Jerusalem later became the braying crowd shouting to Pilate for Barabbas, and as for Jesus, crucify him. But the faces of Jesus' storytelling points us to the week in between. Jesus enters into Jerusalem and then goes about for several days freely, coming and going. He teaches his followers, he predicts his demise, he weeps over Jerusalem, he sees the widow bringing her offering into the temple, he cleanses the temple, and in the long telling of Luke's 22nd chapter, from which Peter has just read to us, he holds a Last Supper before Gethsemane, the trial, the cross, and so on. And by contrast with the very public entry into Jerusalem today, all the rest of this stuff is, if not exactly introverted, then certainly, I suppose you could say, introspective. It is all about Jesus and his followers. Well, not quite all. There are encounters with the Sadducees and with the people, whoever and how many of them there are. But and still, Jesus is a public figure. But at its heart, at the center of the whole scenario, you might say, is the intimate, close scene. Jesus with his most loyal followers at the Last Supper. And there is a growing sense of doom and isolation and betrayal and suspicion. A sense that the whole story of Jesus is drawing to a climax. And big questions are asked of those followers. Are you still with me? Who will betray me? When push comes to shove, who will stand? Actually, that's how it ought to be for us. All these centuries later, we who are charged with telling the story of Jesus in a changed world. Before we rush headlong to Easter Day, before we rejoice in the meaning of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we ought just to pause at the start of the week and hear the echoes of those questions, that challenge for ourselves. Today, who is with Christ? Today, who will betray his cause? When push comes to shove in today's world, who will stand with the one who gives himself for that world? Maybe that's why bread and wine feature today. This isn't a communion Sunday, but perhaps that's a good thing. Bread and wine, in their understanding for us, are tied very closely to the practice of communion, and the danger is that their significance gets overlooked. Bread and wine are bound up with the story of Jesus in this week and with the atmosphere of betrayal and suspicion that builds as the week goes by. At the beginning of the week today, fiddle praise, false popularity, a skewed understanding of what Christ's kingship actually means. As the week progresses, Jesus comes and goes. The life of Jerusalem goes on. A festival is being prepared. Traders go about their business. As the week approaches its climax, soldiers get jittery. The plot thickens. Reality bites. And the life of the world is exposed in all its tawdriness and mediocrity. Followers fall away until at the last Jesus goes alone to the cross. Bread and wine, see, symbols of the life of the earth. bread that gives life and that goes stale, wine that refreshes and that turns sour. And Jesus, the great subverter, the great exposer of the world's ills, gives himself as bread, gives himself as wine. His body and blood symbolized and realized, made real in the things of earth. And the questions at the start. Who is with Christ? Who today will betray his cause? When push comes to shove in today's world, who will stand with the one who gives himself for that world? Funny, really, in the 21st century. At the end of the Christian era, you might say. Who knows what kind of religious future lies ahead of us? Funny, after all these centuries, to hear the same questions that were heard at the start. After the beginning, when clumps of believers in little out-of-the-way places huddled together under the heel of Rome. And later, as power-hungry bishops strutted on the stages of the Holy Roman Empire fighting for power. And later still, as kings played with the chess pieces of religion, the monasteries, the prayer books, the Bibles, the translations, the doctrines, the arguments to further their own ends. Henry VIII comes to mind. And later still, denominations forming and fracturing and splitting and reforming down all the centuries, the Methodist churches and the Baptist chapels and the Quaker meetings and the Reformed assemblies, and the doctrinal disputes continued and the evangelistic rallies were held and worldwide missionary movements began. And today, new churches. And even today, this one religion having to move over to make room for the rest of the world's faiths. Islamic mosques and Sikh gurdwaras in former Christian churches, Buddhist meditation centers on English streets. The church no longer at the center of people's lives, sermons no longer published in newspapers. Amen, I hear you say. And the values by which people live today, hewn out of discussions in Brussels and Geneva and New York, no longer at Canterbury and Constantinople and Rome. How will we respond? We who still tell the story, who still go to the churches, who still believe. Most of today's younger generation don't quite see the point. Oh, they do in a few places, but not many. See, this is about where we are as Holy Week begins, not where we would like to be, not what the church once was, not what kind of mix and match religion might survive into the future. The world has lost faith in the great stories. Communism, capitalism, organized religion. The world gets its kicks today from television and the internet and social media, but the questions remain. Who is with Christ? Who today will betray his cause? When push comes to shove in today's world, who will stand with the one who gives himself for that world? The bread of the world goes stale day by day. Injustice rules. Violence spreads unchecked. destruction rampages. The world's wine goes sour. More and more wealth held by fewer and fewer people. The good of the earth ransacked to line the coffers of the world's elites. Refugees scrabble. Children cry in streets. Hard-working families can hardly make ends meet or put a roof over their heads in 1,000 places. Addiction rates, suicide rates climb. Mental health services are overwhelmed. Sorry, I don't want to be too depressing just before Easter. But that is what lies behind Palm Sunday, I think. As fittle crowds line the streets today, as the ceremony of false innocence shuffles along under the jittery eye of the Roman security state, as people keep their heads down and mind their own business, and the world goes to hell on a handcart, Jesus enters Jerusalem on his subversive donkey. They wanted a king, a great king on a white charger. They always did. They always do. We still do, don't we? Jesus passes by. Knowing the hearts of the people, seeing the skull beneath the skin of a suffering world. So do we. Should we? We who live in a world mired in injustice and destruction and division and prejudice and fear, a world wedded to an everyone for himself and devil take the hindmost economic and political and social philosophy. The skull beneath the skin of our so often superficial society. We are about to live through so-called Holy Week. As far as it makes any difference to anybody, it will come down to a few Christians muttering their quaint lines in a few buildings and maybe a hot cross bun or two. Did you see, by the way, Sainsbury's are offering them now with bacon. But the authentic Christian stance for this week: betrayal is in the air. Suspicion is all around. The world's bread grows stale. The world's wine turns sour. And Jesus gives himself to us as bread and wine and gets ready to go to a cross to mend all the hatred, to end all the destruction, to end all the division and the destruction and send it packing. So Holy Week begins. The questions at its start, all those centuries ago, are there still. Who is with Christ? Who today will betray his cause? When push comes to shove in today's stale, sour world, who will stand with the one who gives himself as bread and wine for that world?